Push the throttle in on a Cessna 172, feet flat on the floor, and watch what happens to the nose. It walks left every time. Not because you steered it there, because the airplane wanted to. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're doing a tip of the day, and it's one of the first things you feel as a student, and one of the last things a lot of pilots ever really understand. The four forces that pull a single-engine propeller airplane to the left, and the one control that fixes all of them. Your right foot. Let's walk through this together, because if you get this, your takeoffs get straighter, your climbs get cleaner, and the examiner stops writing things down on your climb out. Before we dig in, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a good way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you earn one landing at a time. AviationSoul.com, so... Left-turning tendencies? Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Nobody sits you down and explains that there are four separate things going on, all pushing the same direction, all showing up at different moments. They just say add right rudder and leave you to figure out why. So let's actually pull them apart, one at a time, because each one lives at a different point in your flight. The first one is torque. Think about Newton. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Your engine is spinning a propeller to the right, from the pilot's seat, clockwise, and the airplane wants to spin the opposite way, to the left. It can't roll the whole fuselage around the prop, obviously, but it does press down harder on the left main gear and the left wing. On the ground, that means more weight and more friction on the left tire, and the airplane wants to swing left. In the air, at high power and low airspeed, that same rolling tendency means the left wing is trying to sink. Torque is strongest when you've got a lot of power and not a lot of speed, which is exactly the takeoff and the climb. The second force is the one most people have heard of. Spiraling, slipstream, the propeller doesn't push the air straight back. It flings it backward in a corkscrew, a rotating tube of air that wraps around the fuselage like a spring. And because the prop turns to the right, that spiral wraps around and strikes the left side of your vertical tail. Picture a hand pushing on the left side of the rudder. That shoves the tail right, which points the nose left. Same direction as everything else. And here's the tell. Spiraling slipstream is worst at high power and low speed, and it gets weaker as you speed up. Because at higher air speed, the spiral stretches out into a longer, gentler coil and doesn't hit the tail as squarely. That's why the rudder pressure, you need eases off a little as the climb settles down. Number 3. This is the big one on takeoff, and it's the one that surprises people. P-factor. The asymmetric loading of the propeller disc. Stay with me here, because this one's worth slowing down for. Your propeller is a wing. Each blade is a little airfoil, and it makes thrust the way a wing makes lift. Now, when the airplane is flying along straight and level, both blades, the one sweeping down on the right and the one sweeping up on the left, are biting the air at the same angle. Balanced, no problem, but pitch the nose up, like you do on takeoff, and in a climb, and the propeller disc is now tilted back relative to the oncoming air. And when that happens, the two blades stop being equal. The blade coming down on the right side of the disc takes a bigger bite. Higher angle of attack, more thrust. The blade going up on the left side takes a smaller bite, less thrust. So now you've got more pull on the right half of the propeller than the left half. More thrust on the right pulls the nose, again, to the left. Here's the practical version. Anytime the nose is high and the power is up, P-factor is loading up your right side and yawing you left. Take off, climb, go around. Slow flight with power on. That's why the tail draggers are so dramatic about it, and why even your trainer needs a firm right foot when you rotate. And the fourth one, gyroscopic precession. A spinning propeller is a gyroscope, and gyroscopes do a strange thing. When you push on a spinning disc, the force doesn't show up where you pushed, it shows up 90 degrees later in the direction of rotation. That's precession. For most of us flying nose-wheel airplanes, this one barely registers, and I'll be honest with you about that. It matters most in a tailwheel airplane, at the moment you lift the tail on the takeoff roll. When that tail comes up, you're effectively pushing on the top of the spinning propeller disc. Rotate that push 90 degrees around, and the force comes out on the left side of the disc, shoving the nose, you guessed it, left. So if you ever go get a tailwheel endorsement, and I hope you do, gyroscopic precession stops being a textbook curiosity and becomes a thing your feet are actively managing every single takeoff. In your average trainer, it's the smallest of the four, but it belongs on the list, and the examiner may ask you to name all four. Now let's put it together, because a list of four physics terms doesn't fly the airplane. Your feet do. Here's the beautiful part. You do not need to compute which force is doing what at any given second. All four of them push the same way, to the left, and they're all strongest in the same conditions. High power, low airspeed, nose high. And they all have the same fix. Right rudder. The airplane doesn't care whether you can recite the causes. It cares that the ball is centered. So, let's fly a takeoff, and I'll tell you what your feet should be doing. You line up on the center line. You bring the power up smooth and full. Right there, as the engine spins up, the airplane starts to drift left, torque and slipstream getting to work. You answer it with right rudder. Not a stomp, a steady, deliberate pressure that keeps the nose tracking straight down the center line. You rotate. Nose comes up. Now P-Factor joins the party and it wants even more right rudder than you were holding on the roll. This is the moment students underdo it. They relax their foot, right as they need it most, and the airplane skids off to the left of the runway heading. Keep the pressure in. You settle into the climb, VY, best rate, nose up, full power. This is peak left-turning territory. You'll be holding noticeable right rudder the entire climb, and that's normal. That's correct. The airplane is not broken, it's doing exactly what physics says it will. Then you level off and accelerate to cruise. Power comes back, the nose comes down, the airspeed comes up, and, feel it, all four forces fade at once. You can relax your right foot. Better yet, you reach down and roll in a little rudder trim if your airplane has it, so you're not standing on the pedal for an hour. Now here's the question every student eventually asks, how much right rudder? And the answer is the whole reason I love this topic. You don't measure it, you watch the ball. That inclinometer in the bottom of your turn coordinator, the little ball in the curved tube that is your left-turning tendency meter, on climb out, if the ball is sitting off to the right, it means you need more right rudder to bring it back to center. Step on the ball, we say, step on the side, the ball has slid to, center the ball, and you have exactly canceled all four of those forces, no more, no less. You didn't need a formula, you needed to look down and press. And if you're flying a glass panel airplane, you've got the same thing rendered as a little trapezoid or a sliding bar under the attitude display. Same game. Keep it centered. Let me give you a real scenario, because this is where it stops being trivia. The go-around, you're on final, a little low, and something isn't right. A deer on the runway, an airplane that didn't clear, whatever. You firewall the throttle and pitch up to climb away, and in 1 second, you have created the perfect storm for left-turning tendencies. Full power, low airspeed, nose coming up hard, all four forces slam on at once, and if your feet are asleep, that airplane yaws left and rolls left right down low to the ground. This is why the go-around surprises people and occasionally bites them. It's not a hard maneuver, but it demands a big, decisive shove of right rudder at the exact moment your attention is split between the throttle, the pitch, the flaps, and the traffic. Here's the fix. When you practice go-arounds, and you should practice them until they're boring, make the right rudder part of the muscle memory. Power up, right foot in, pitch up. In that order, as one motion. Same thing in slow flight, which you'll fly on your checkride. Power on, nose high, hanging on the edge. That airplane will want to yaw and roll left the whole time. And the examiner is looking for you to hold your heading with coordinated rudder, ball-centered, without wandering. When the airplane tries to drift left in slow flight and the student fights it with aileron instead of rudder, that's the giveaway that they never internalize this. Rudder holds the heading here, not the yoke. Let me tie this to the standards, because it's written down. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, the document your examiner grades you against, calls for coordinated flight. It expects you to maintain directional control and to keep the airplane coordinated on takeoff, in the climb, in slow flight, in the go-around. Nobody's going to say the word spiraling slipstream to you on the checkride, probably. But every time they watch you climb out with the ball centered and the nose tracking straight, you are demonstrating that you understand this, whether they ask or not. So here are your practical takeaways for your next flight. 1. Expect the left turn. Don't be surprised by it and don't fight it after the fact. Lead it. As the power comes up, the right foot goes in. They happen together. 2. It's worst when the power is high and the speed is low and the nose is up. Take off, climb, go around, slow flight. That's your list. In cruise, with the power back and the speed up, it nearly disappears. 3. Stop guessing how much. Look at the ball. Step on the ball, center it, and you have beaten all four forces with one input. 4. Use your rudder trim if you've got it, especially on a long climb, so your leg isn't shaking by the time you level off. And 5. The one I'll leave you with. Your feet are not passengers. In a lot of training, students fly with their hands and let their feet sit there. This is the topic that cures that. The rudder is not an emergency control you touch once in a while. On a single-engine airplane, it is working on every takeoff and every climb all day long, quietly earning its keep. Here's the honest part, this stuff is not easy at first. Your body doesn't want to add right rudder while your hands are busy and the runway edge is rushing up. It feels like patting your head and rubbing your belly, but it comes. One day it stops being a thing you think about and becomes a thing you just feel, and your instructor stops saying right rudder because the ball is already centered. That day is coming for you, keep at it. The physics I walk through today lines up with what you'll find in the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook and the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, and it's all baked right into the Coordinated Flight Standards in the ACS. Read those chapters again with your feet in mind, it'll click. You can find us at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern, go center that ball and I'll see you back here in the Pattern.